In the Kathopanishad, the immortality that is described is the immortality of that experience of ultimate reality, of the Supreme Reality. To live all the time in the experience of Supreme Reality is to attain to immortality. The physical may die, but when you experience your oneness with that reality, which is indestructible, which is the vast, which is supreme, that experience is the experience of immortality. Can that immortality be experienced even while in the body? That was the question. And in India and elsewhere, there is a big controversy on this. According to one belief, you can experience this immortality while in the body. According to the others, only when you leave the body you can experience that immortality, otherwise you can't. Now the immortality as understood in the Veda is much vaster. You can experience in the body the immortality of the Supreme, you can experience this reality in its supramental character. The powers of the gods, which are the sons of the Aditi, of the Supreme Mother, coming down, inhabiting your body, and your body remains vitasthe, prithvi vitasthe, that is the exact word in Parashara's words. Prithvi means a physical, vitasthe, stood, unshaken. That is Vedic immortality. Yet this does not mean cutting out the principle of death in this evolutionary world. One can live on, even physically. Sri Aurobindo speaks of triple immortality. Apart from this, all the experiences of which I spoke, immortality of the soul, immortality of the Supreme, experience of the Supreme, immortality of the Supreme with the supermind in the body. Apart from these three connotations of the word immortality, Sri Aurobindo speaks of triple immortality. Immortality of the mind, immortality of the vital, and the immortality of the body. It is the immortality, triple immortality, is a special kind of immortality. It is an immortality in which there is a constant progression without the necessity at any stage of any kind of dissolution. Any necessity of dissolution. You can have the mind developing in such a way, it goes on developing, but at no stage it requires to be dissolved in some way or the other. It is progression all the time. Similarly, the vital, and then the physical. And Sri Aurobindo has laid down what is the condition when this kind of immortality is achieved. When the mind is able to be guided constantly by the inner soul, by the psychic being, not only inwardly but even on the surface, not only inwardly but also on the surface. In other words, when all the movements of the mind become psychicized, then the mind does not need to be dissolved for further progression. Otherwise, the law of progression is that when you make some progress at a certain critical point, in order to make a further progress, something of the old has to be dissolved, and then you can make a further progress. Again you make some progress, something of the old has to be dissolved, compulsorily. If you don't dissolve it, you can't make a progress. This is the normal process. But when the mind is fully psychicized, and since psychic being is immortal, this capacity of the immortality of the soul is reflected and partaken of by the mind. But this would be even further enhanced if the mind is supramentalized. Not only psychicized, but supramentalized. And similarly, the vital is psychicized and supramentalized, and when the body is psychicized and supramentalized. Now this question of supramentalization is very important. You can eliminate the principle of death, and this is the new discovery that Sri Aurobindo and the mother have made. Even while remaining in the body without the necessity of dissolution, whether the body can respond to the will of the supermind constantly, uninterruptedly, this is the question that Sri Aurobindo and the mother had raised. And unless this is done, the harmony on the earth is not possible. Because ultimately harmony on the earth has to be a physical harmony and the physical plane. Now there is a difference between the body remaining stable even when the supermind descends into it, and a new concept that we find in the mother and Sri Aurobindo, and that is permeation of the physical by the supermind. The supermind coming in the body and living in the body, but not yet permeating the body, is one state. But the supermind entering into the body, in a body which is still stable, and then going further, the supermind permeating into the physical, this question of permeation, this question was never raised in the whole history of mankind. Is it possible for the supermind to permeate the physical? And what is the condition of it? What are the forces needed for it? How can you do it? This is a very big discovery. Sri Aurobindo's mother have said that this can be done. Supermind can permeate into physical. So as to eliminate the necessity of death. Necessity. One can die, but necessity of death. Obliged to die. One can continue to live long, 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 long for thousands of years, but yet obliged to death, that obligation would not be eliminated. Here, even if one may die, but there is no obligation to die. There is what is called death at will, of which India knows very much, what is called Ichha Mrityu. You die at will. But Ichha Mrityu, the death at will, is only a temporary kind of adjustment with death. It is not conquest of the obligation to die. It is only the capacity to determine the time when one can die. One can postpone for some time, like Bhishma, it is said that he had the capacity to die at will. And he could postpone his death by some months. It is not conquest of the obligation to die. One knows that one has to die, but one can postpone it. That is not what Mother and Sri Aurobindo speaks of. The conquest of death is the conquest of the obligation to die. And that conquest, Sri Aurobindo's mother said, can be achieved. And I referred one time to Mother's declaration on 14th of March 1970, where Mother has said, it is done. In categorical terms, she has said, it is done. And she said, now the supermind can permanently be established in the physical. And this is the difference between the Vedic discovery of the supermind and Mother's and Sri Aurobindo's discovery. As Mother points out, in the Veda there is no indication that they had permanently established a supermind. Mother and Sri Aurobindo wanted a permanent fixation of the supermind on the earth. And why this permanent fixation? Because unless this is done, there can't be durable peace. You must have heard in the modern world this term durable peace. The peace that endures. The peace that is never destroyed, it will remain. It's not as if we postpone world war now, but again live in the fear of the world war any time coming up. There is an obligation of war, as it were. We are obliged to fight. We can postpone the fight, but we are obliged to fight. We are at present at that stage. We are still obliged to fight. If the earth is to be free from the very obligation to fight, I said that Sri Aurobindo confirms the Vedic experience that human life is a battle. He confirms the Vedic aspiration that we must arrive at harmony and peace. But what Sri Aurobindo has done is, which was not done elsewhere at all in the history of the world, which is new, is that the world need not be obliged to be a field of battle. At present it is a battlefield. But this whole principle of conflict can be eliminated from the world experience. And mother said that it is done. For working it out, it may take now centuries, it may take 1,000 years, doesn't matter. But it is done. Now this gives a completely new perspective, as mother told me in a letter that I had written to the mother, where I described my syllabus of spiritual history of India. Mother tore me apart. I should like to take this opportunity to read out to you that answer of the mother, because a short answer, but I would like to tell you what mother told me, because it is very relevant to the present question. It's a short letter of the mother in which she said, "You were trying to show the continuity of history with Sri Aurobindo as the outcome, the culmination. It is false entirely. Sri Aurobindo does not belong to history. He is outside and beyond history. Till the birth of Sri Aurobindo, religions and spiritualities were always centered on past figures, and they were showing as a goal the negation of life upon the earth. So you had a choice between two alternatives: either a life in this world with its round of petty pleasures and pains, joys and sufferings, threatened by hell if you were not behaving properly, or an escape into another world, heaven, nirvana, moksha, liberation. Between these two, there is nothing much to choose. They are equally bad. Sri Aurobindo has told us that this was a fundamental mistake which accounts for the weakness and degradation of India. Buddhism, Jainism, illusionism were sufficient to sap all energy out of the country. True, India is the only place in the world which is still aware that something else than matter exists. The other countries have quite forgotten it. Europe, America and elsewhere. That is why she still has a message to preserve and deliver to the world. But at present, she is splashing and floundering in the muddle. Sri Aurobindo has shown that the truth does not lie in running away from the earthly life, but in remaining in it, to transform it, divinize it, so that the divine can manifest here in this physical world." Then she addresses me and says, "You should tell all this at the first sitting. You should be square and frank. Then, when this is told strongly, squarely, and there is no doubt about it, and then only you can go on and amuse them with the history of religions and religious or spiritual leaders. Then, and only then, you will be able to show the seed of weakness and falsehood that they have harbored and proclaimed. Then, and then only, you will be able to discern from time to time, from place to place, an intuition that something else is possible. In the Vedas, for instance, the injunction to descend deep into the cave of the Panis. In the Tantras also, a little light burning. I may add that you could adopt as a motto for your first project this quotation of Sri Aurobindo: we do not belong to the past dawns, but to the noons of the future." This is the third discovery of the Veda about the supermind, and I told you how Sri Aurobindo goes beyond, it's not beyond but something new that was not even conceived in the Veda. In a sense, by telling you all this, I have told you also what Sri Aurobindo has said, done in regard to the two other discoveries. The discovery of the Supreme Reality and the discovery of the completeness of knowledge that we find in the Veda, the integrality of knowledge that we find in the Veda, and the yoga of the Veda. I don't think I will burden you. If you have questions afterwards, I shall burden you also, if you want to be burdened, and tell you in detail how the concept of reality that was in the Veda has been confirmed by Sri Aurobindo, how the integrality of knowledge that we find in the Veda has been confirmed by Sri Aurobindo, but how also there is a new realization, a new perception of the ultimate reality, a new kind of integrality of knowledge that we don't find in the Veda. So in regard to each one of these five discoveries, there is in Sri Aurobindo, as Mother says, the presence of the noons of the future. This is what I wanted to do with you in my first installment during my present stay, and I think I have done to some extent what I wanted to do. Since you have put some questions, I will come tomorrow if you are free and read those questions with you and answer them. All right? Thank you. Thank you.